Come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her do.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It is Michelle Anna Jordan here in the studio. Happy to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. Did you get to a farmer's market today? Boy, almost all of the farmer's markets now have opened. Yesterday, the Point Reyes station, which I know that's not in Sonoma County, but it's one of our North Bay farmer's markets and one of the last ones to open for the year. Just about everyone except, I think, the Santa Rosa Farmers Market that takes place in the parking lot of WIC, Women's and Women, Infants and Children's Agency. That opens, I think, the second or third Thursday of July, and then all of our farmers markets will be open for the season, and I think that gives us 29 or 30 market days a week, which is, I mean, talking about an abundance of riches. And today there was even more than I expected at the farmer's market. What is this? This is still, what, it's June 29th, I think? We have so many vendors, local vendors with tomatoes. And I remember in several recent years, gosh, it's the end of July, it's the beginning of August, and we're all just sitting around watching our tomato plants, hoping for a little bit of a blush of pink on some of those green balls. But now they are coming in strong. We also had two types of green beans. We had, I think it was Romano beans and blue light green beans from the patch in Sonoma, which just came back last week. There were Santa Rosa plums. There were the last of the donut peaches, and I'm so sad to see that the donut peaches are being called donut peaches. When they first appeared on the scene about 12 years ago, they were called Rings of Saturn, and I swear they tasted better when they were called Rings of Saturn. They're still good, but they are nearing the end, at least from a particular farm that has been bringing them. Just as I was leaving, I saw that Hector from Hector's Honey, Hector Alvarez, he had some donut peaches as well. And I know that he's in a different area, so maybe he'll have those a little bit longer. So hope you are getting out to your farmer's market. We will be talking about that a little bit tonight with someone who's brought something really new and interesting to the market. It is César Vernier. Did I say that right, César?
Yes, you did.
Yes. Here with Mudita Christie Hinton. Together, they have the Bone Broth Company, which is really great, and they are perhaps best known for the absolutely delicious paella, which why they are here tonight, because also with us is Colleen Patton of Gloria Ferrer. Gloria Ferrer in July will be hosting the 22nd annual Catalan Festival, and I know that there's always at least one kind, and I think this year I've read that there will be four kinds of paella at the festival. Welcome to Mouthful, everybody.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for having us.
So, Colleen, I'm going to get you a little bit closer. Yeah, there we go. So let's start out talking about what is the Catalan Festival? When does it take place?
Okay, so that's easy. It's the third weekend of July, so the 19th and 20th, Saturday and Sunday. You can attend either or both if you'd like to, if you're a big fan. So it is all-day event, 11 to 4. And we've got entertainment, lots of food, great bubbly, and we have great views at the winery. So it's a great place just to relax, hang out, and enjoy some, you know, Spanish heritage.
And now Gloria Ferrer, it's, what I don't know if the right word, headquarters, its origins are in Catalan.
Correct.
And I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Freixenet.
That's right. Freixenet. Mm-hmm. I've been there. They put on just a beautiful, beautiful meal for us and had, give me a second, the pole dancing. I think it was maypole dancing, that traditional Catalan dancing, though I think there it's not necessarily a May Day tradition. It's done at other times, and it was really great. I mean, they even had it with the dancers leaping over the fire. And
yeah.
I think I did that after a few glasses of that wonderful champagne, and it was really fun.
The bubbly always helps.
Yes. So what will the entertainment be at the festival?
Well, we've got a live band that's going to be there. We also have flamenco performances, which is great. We have one towards the end of the day. And so usually by then, everyone's kind of really pumped about the whole festival. So people are up on stage dancing. And the company that we work with, I think they're out of Sebastopol as well. They're very interactive, too. So they've been a lovely company to work with. So entertainment-wise, we also have grape stomps. We have seminars going on all day. One's a tour with our winemaker. We also have a great food and wine pairing. And then, let's see, what else? It's stuff all day.
And how does it work? Is it, say, with the food, is it sort of the sort of walk-around thing where you go to different stations and try stuff?
Yep. We're going to have stations all throughout, stations of food and wine. And so the ticket includes all of your food tasting. And so you can take in as much as you possibly can. There's going to be tons of different paellas and lots of different samples of tapas, a Spanish appetizer. So there should be a great selection.
Who will be doing the cooking?
That's Grapevine Catering. They're doing everything.
Okay. We know them.
Yeah, they're a great company to work with, local to Sonoma County, and so we're super excited to have them this year.
What's the history? And I want to bring you in on this. Is paella specifically rooted in that region, that northeastern region of Spain? Is it something from throughout Spain?
Well, through history, it's basically from Valencia.
Okay, yeah.
That's
and which history. Is a little bit further south, say, further south than Barcelona.
Yes. So that's pretty much, if you track history, that's where paellas are known to be.
And how did you get involved in it?
I worked in Miami at a restaurant called La Dorada, which I think they have another franchise in Spain. So I work with a chef that has his own restaurant in Miami. So that's where I cook for a few months. Yeah.
And you made paella there?
And I made paella and I learned the dish with them.
And then how'd you end up in Sonoma County?
Well, I was working as a chef in Costa Rica. Cooking for a Mediterranean restaurant. It was a Greek restaurant and somebody discovered me there and brought me to Sonoma County.
Really? Somebody found you and brought you to Sonoma County?
Yes, as a private chef, they wanted me to come. And
is it anyone we would know?
No, it was just regular people.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how I ended up in Sonoma County.
Now, are you originally from Costa Rica?
No, I'm from El Salvador.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I grew up in Miami for 19 years.
I heard that, your mom is from El Salvador and your father's French?
He's French, yes. So cooking has been in my family.
Sure, and that's a nice mix.
Yeah.
El Salvador and France, you know. Yeah. That's interesting. Do you do much of your cooking from home, from your homeland?
Not at all, actually. No. There's Spanish influence, as you can see, paella.
Sure.
And I do a lot of Italian and French. Yeah. but not much from El Salvador.
No. No. Okay. How did you tell us a little bit about the book? Because your business card, you would never know. Actually, we're going to do two things at once. I'm going to have Colleen start to open this bottle of the Royal Cuvée Gloria Ferrer Brut. Yes, we can't have that sitting there getting warm. And, you know, it makes a really good, one of Mouthful's favorite sounds. So when you are going to take that cork off, get it really close.
Okay.
And then I want the two of you, Mudita, you too, you jump in as you wish.
Thank you.
Your company is called the Bone Broth Company. So tell us, I think it's wonderful. It's great to see it. And it seems so.
Whoa.
Yes.
There it is.
Yay.
Bubbles.
So how did you come up with making broth at the market?
Okay. Would you want to answer that?
Well, Christmas. We actually keep asking ourselves how this happened, and we're not quite sure. Other than we both have a wellness culinary arts in our background, both being, you know, like to cook healing foods for people. I'm a nutrition consultant and a chef at the Ceres Project.
Oh, uh-huh. That's right.
And have just learned so much about the healing benefits of bone broth and a really good, long, slow-cooked broth.
Mm-hmm.
When we came together talking about business ideas, paella was his thing. That's what he wanted to do, which, you know, when he would describe it, he would say, it's done with two broths. It takes over 48 hours to make this dish, and it's all about the broth. And somewhere along there in our conversations and our ideas for a business came paella at the farmer's market and then bone broth. I had been interested in the place in Berkeley called Three Stone Hearth.
Mm-hmm.
They do bone broth and distribute it and deliver it. And
oh, really? I didn't know they did the distribution and deliver it.
They deliver it. They may not. I think that they don't distribute it like to stores or anything, but so yeah, we just decided, hey, this is a niche, you know, and it's connected to nutrition, which we are both really passionate about.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, did I miss something? Or?
No, that's it is a passion of mine to make paellas, and like she mentioned before, you need two different broths to cook.
Tell us about that. What tell us the two different?
Yeah. For example, a seafood paella, it involves typically a chicken broth and a seafood broth.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've learned with this chef that I cook with in Miami was to start the paella with a chicken broth and then finish it with a seafood broth. And that will actually enhance and put all the flavors together. Yeah, so that's where bone broth actually.
Yeah, but then you the focus of your or the focus of the name is the Bone Broth Company. So you sell it. I know people can just buy it and drink it right at the market, but you also sell it to take home.
Yes, you can. We sell it frozen in a 32-ounce container where people can take it home and use it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can use it for their favorite recipes or just have it with some lemon juice and salt and make it up like that.
Yeah, it's really good for you.
Nutritious, yes.
I was reading, I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago, when we suddenly started seeing in lots of publications and just in the commons a lot of talk about the benefits of bone broth. And there were some people who said, every person in your family should drink a quart of bone broth a day. No, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Family of four, that's a gallon a day.
Right.
But there was also keeping it going in a slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take out a quart, you put back in a quart of water, and you keep that bone broth, that particular mix of bone broth going for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
So it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But, I mean, I've read people claims, you know, it puts hair back on your head and cures just about anything.
It resurrects the dead.
Exactly. Exactly. So how is that part of the business going?
It's going amazing. It is. We started selling 20 quarts a week at the farmer's market.
And this is the Sebastopol market.
This is the Sebastopol market. And now we're over 70 quarts a week.
Really?
Which is really beautiful because we know how nutritious it's nutritious. It uh-huh. is for people, and you know, we're happy that people are welcoming it.
Uh-huh. And yeah, 70 a week, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is used Sevastopol. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Will you share about your grandpa? I mean, this is the culture from El Salvador,
yeah,
too.
Yes, yes. So my grandfather, who's 94 as we speak, when I came up with the idea of making bone broth, I called up my mother, who's also a restaurant owner and a chef.
In El Salvador?
In El Salvador. Uh-huh. And she just smiled over the phone. She said to me, well, your grandpa has been drinking this stuff, you know, up until this day. And he's 94. So, yeah, it was just a moment of going back to my childhood and mm-hmm. remembering that I did grow up with bone broth
uh-huh.
all my life, and my grandfather still drinking it. So,
that's great. Yeah. Can you talk at all about how you make yours? What goes into it?
I do two processes. One is to roast the bones that mm-hmm. I get. And they're local grass-fed.
They are.
They are. Uh-huh. From our Inson farms.
Oh, great.
Or Victorian farms.
Uh-huh.
And so I roast the bones and add some apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 30 ingredients yeah. other than bones.
But you roast them first.
I roast them yeah. first. That's the first process. And then mm-hmm. I slow cook them for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And strain everything. Strain in all the solids and just end up with a liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And the other process is to soak the bones for half a day in an apple cider vinegar solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're doing any of these two processes is to break down bone tissue
mm-hmm.
to extract minerals.
Yeah, get the calcium.
And bone marrow, exactly. Yeah. That's why you can do any of these two, but you end up with the same result.
Right.
Yeah, but you should cook it for at least a whole day,
a whole
24
day, yeah.
hours at a very slow flame. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the process that I use myself.
So you're selling 70 quarts a week. That's a big pot.
That is.
I can fit in it.
It's a really big pot.
It is. It's a 100 quart
wow.
pot. And uh-huh. I do two of those a week now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it seem to be people who are coming back every week for it? Mm-hmm. Or is it a mix of people?
No, they keep coming
they
back.
They keep coming
yeah,
back.
We have regulars now. And uh-huh. yeah, they just come every week for three quarts up to a gallon
uh-huh.
every week. Yeah. And we keep getting
more
customers. Uh-huh. Yes.
We were invited to the Occidental Market on a waiting list basis, mm-hmm. on an invite basis. We don't have a regular spot there. So we've been there 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this past Friday, there wasn't a spot for us, so we did not go. And today at Sevastopol, we heard about it. People came and said, yeah. we are counting on you. We got phone calls. We yeah. won 8 quarts. Where were you?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
That's what, you know, in my experience of going to all the farmers markets, that is a really dedicated group of shoppers
yeah.
at Occidental.
Mm-hmm.
They are really serious in a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
You know, I love that market. Mm. I really love that market. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a little musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back with more talk about the Catalan Festival and the miracles of bone broth. Yes, it is the wine country's most delicious hour. And we're talking about all kinds of yummy things here, including something similar to paella, but made with short one-inch noodle pasta instead of the rice. Really interesting dish. I have never seen it in this country. I have never seen it in a menu, on a menu in this country. And the best I've ever had was in a little tiny town west of inland from Barcelona. So good. I make a pretty good version myself, but it's not the same. You know, it's just not the same. Okay, what are we drinking? Royal Cuvée. Tell us about it.
Yes. So this is a 2006 vintage, and it is two-thirds Pinot, a third Chardonnay, and it's a nice vintage wine, so it sits on the yeast for over 5 years. So what's nice about it is you're going to get that creamier French-style texture characteristics. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll still get some fruits out of it, but definitely that nice, rich texture.
Uh-huh. How many... I know that Gloria Ferrer makes many different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say how many in any given year?
Well, we've got, you know, our classic wines that you see throughout a Vada V, Sonoma Brut, Blanc de Noir. And then we have right around six or so that are more winery exclusive and vintage wines. And so, you know, our Carneros Cuvée is this beautiful bottle that we have. It's a 10-year-old wine. So that one's always a great selection to go with. And then we've got quite a few others that are in and out throughout the year. We just, this is our first year we did a Pinot Blanc. So we do, you know, estate still wines.
I remember when you first came out, I think it was when you first came out with a still Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
91, 93, something like that.
It was a little bit back. Yeah,
yeah, I think it was definitely before 94, because the way I learned about it was there was a little restaurant in downtown Sebastopol that was so good, Sapphire Minx, and it was on the corner where there's now Abacus Financial is going in. It was a beautiful building. The people who put it in took it from just an abandoned bank building for so long and turned it into this little adorable jewel box of a restaurant. And I went there all the time. People in Sebastopol hated it. It was before its time. It was really sad. It was before its time, and it got this very fast reputation for being small portions, high prices. You know, who do they think they are? And it was so not true. I mean, just abundant portions on your plate. It was just this, I was in love with the place. One time it was raining so hard, and I was going down because there was a note next to their phone that said, got sardines, call Michelle, with my phone number, because at that point no one in town had sardines. So they called me and said, we have sardines. So driving out of the driveway, and I get stuck in the mud, and I'm about a mile and a half from town, and I got my raincoat and my umbrella, and I walked, and I made them give me a ride home. But they had the first vintage of Gloria Ferrer Pinot Noir,
nice.
And it was $17 a bottle. That's the retail price.
Wow.
How things have changed, mm-hmm. you know, in the 20 years. I think I drank the whole two cases.
Oh, good.
Because nobody knew then. Yeah. Nobody, especially in Sebastopol, people weren't recognizing. It's like, oh, Gloria Ferrer, sparkling wine, what? Pinot Noir. And then get something else.
Yeah, we've got some great Pinots.
Oh, absolutely fabulous. Mm-hmm. Who are the winemakers today?
So, Bob Iantosca.
Okay, okay. Yes, Bob.
He's got some vintages there, as well as Steve Erberg.
Okay, now, Steve, Bob Iantosca, I know. Steve, I don't know.
Steve is the main man right now, okay. And he's getting it all done and keeping busy, coming out again with these new wines. So,
You do fabulous Pinot Noir. I think some of the best of that region come from Gloria Ferrer.
I love them.
And then, who's the vineyard manager today, these days?
So the vineyard manager is Mike Crumley.
Okay, it is still Mike. Great. Mm-hmm. Yes, I haven't talked to Mike. Yeah, he's
the
been there a long time.
With Bob.
Yeah, yes, with Bob, exactly.
They've been there from the beginning.
Uh-huh. Cool.
They've made us to where we are today, so love them.
Yeah, really. it's really one of the great, champagne houses in Sonoma County, but with those other wonderful wines as well. At the Catalan Festival, are you only pouring bubbly, or are you pouring some of the other wines?
We will be pouring some of the other wines too. Mm-hmm. Definitely have some Pinots available. We may be doing some Freixenet you know, out of their brand's debuts, but I'm not entirely sure. So I think we're kind of still working on our lovely wine menu.
Now, Freshenet, if you see that in the store, that's the familiar black bottle, but there's also a white bottle, right? Either white or orange. You see that every, I see that every now and then. And it's always in the cava section because it's in Spain, it's called cava.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tell us a little, can you tell us much about that?
I can't think of what the white bottle would be. I mean, I know we've
I've seen it at Class Plus.
Huh. I'll have to go check it out. Yeah, I haven't, you know, I know we've got, you know, the classic black bottle, mm-hmm. gold label, for the extra brut as well as the brut.
I think it's a white bottle. I know there's a second bottle, and I'm always sort of like, oh, right, that's Freshenet too.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm not sure.
Anyway, cava has not taken off in America yet as a term.
No.
And I have mixed feelings about it because it is one of the best buys in the world mm-hmm. of wine. If you know about Spanish cava and you know what you like, you know that, like for me, I like it really dry, mm-hmm. you know what to buy. And you can buy a fabulous sparkling wine made in the method Champenoise mm-hmm. for under $10. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it's on sale, if you're at Cost Plus or something, you might get Freshenet for $5.99 a bottle. Mm-hmm. And it's as good as a bottle of French champagne that costs five, sometimes 10 times that much. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, I want people to know about it. On the other hand, it's a well-kept secret. Let's keep the price low. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just very nice to know about it. And it's often on the bottom shelf. You have to look for cava. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, you also go to Hawaii or you know about other things or have friends who do, they think you're talking about ava, which is also called cava, which is the root, you know, a beverage that's made out of a root that's mildly intoxicating. But not intoxicating, that's not the correct word. It's psychoactive, but in a different way. So there's these two terms for cava. Anyway, just a little bit of drink trivia here on Mouthful. So how involved is Freshenet with Gloria Ferrer here? Is there some crossover?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we have Freshenet USA. So,
it's a clear bottle. And it looks white because...
Oh, I kind of see this.
Yes, we're going to turn... We'll turn the monitor. That's right.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen that brand.
It's a frosted. It's a frosted glass.
Yeah, frosted mm-hmm. glass.
Well, I know. And there's also a rosé that they do. So that'll be a clear bottle as well.
Right.
I just thought about that. Duh. So, yeah, they definitely have... and they're also coming out with... a sweeter cava, you know, sweeter blends too, because this whole, you know, Prosecco thing is taking off. So,
yeah, I'm not so excited about that. Although I did have
a
dry
fan.
I had a dry Prosecco.
Oh, okay.
A couple weeks ago. I don't remember the brand though, but it was an actual dry Prosecco. It's like, okay, I can drink that. I don't like that edge of sweetness. Mm-hmm. I like bone dry.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a dry fan too.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, say dry. First of all, dry is more refreshing. You guys just come in, right. You know, just you join us. I think dry is more food friendly as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesus. You have to be more careful pairing food when you have sweetness in the beverage, no matter what it is, whether it's wine or something else.
I always like that balance of the sweet with spicy.
Yeah,
you know, to really
sure.
counteract each other.
Sure,
you know,
sweet will hold up to heat. You mm-hmm. know, Southeast Asian cuisines, that sort of thing. I still like dry because that's just how I am. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how the Catalan Festival is structured price wise, because I know that there's a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one size fits all.
Yes, so we have, you know, general tickets. And so those are currently at $75, and it's for one day. You choose either Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a bubble pass, which is kind of like that VIP section and, you know, different wines. It's kind of that VIP heightened experience that mm-hmm. you can have. And I do believe we are sold out.
You sold out on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. We may have just sold the last couple for Sunday.
Darn.
Yesterday.
Okay.
I was at the winery, so I think we're right around there. Mm-hmm. And then there's also grape stomps that you can sign up for too. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get competitive and get dirty, it's actually not that dirty, you know, but yeah, we've got that option available as well. So team up with a bestie and stomp away.
Mm-hmm. And is this something, do you have to be over 21 or are kids invited?
No, kids can definitely come. So it is, you know, family focused. Mm-hmm. Want them to enjoy flamenco performances, the live music.
Run around their, outside.
Yeah, squish their feet in some grapes, you know, mm-hmm. do it all. So I think one of our grape stomps last year, it was three teams of kids. And what was funny is the last pair up there, they were teachers. And so, you know, they're like, oh, we have no problem beating these kids. We now, got this.
How do you win? What's the goal?
So the goal is stomping. You get a certain amount of time. You stomp away as much as you possibly can and fill up a container.
Oh, so it's the quantity. Most filled. How much? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And does it get strained or is it, do you have to get the...
Well, we have a strain that kind of goes over... Okay. The hole from the barrel, so not big clumps are going through.
Right, okay.
And then, so...
So you're getting the juice out.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the juice
out. It's just juice. So, you know, it takes a second for that juice to come out at the beginning.
Sure.
You know? So a lot of times people are kind of all staring at you, and there's nothing there for, you know, a good 45 seconds almost, and then finally you see it, and you're like, I swear it's coming. Just keep going. Uh-huh.
The bubble passes are sold out.
Mm-hmm. All of them? I waited too long.
And there's only one grape stomping pass for Sunday. Saturday Ooh. Still has them.
Ah, okay. It's going to be a big party.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out just almost a month in advance. Do you know yet, has Grapevine told you yet, what the different types of paella will be?
I've got it in front of me.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm not sure. I think this is as close as we know to the latest and greatest, but we're definitely doing, you know, the classic Valencia kind of style. And then we are also doing...
Oh, look at this.
Oh, my gosh.
They're doing the... It's really hard. Fedois paella. Saffron. Here they're calling it saffron noodles with shellfish and whitefish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right on. Got to have some airlifted over to me or something.
I know,
that
right?
is really great. Well, I know... I'm going to give them a call and see how they do that.
Yeah,
maybe I'll write about it.
Taste test.
And then they're doing a vegan version?
Yes. Yep. Definitely want to make sure that everyone has a chance to try some. Before, you know, I'm allergic to shellfish, so in previous years, I haven't really been able to try as much, so mm-hmm. I'm very excited for it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's always good to have that third option, and you never know. You might just absolutely love it.
That's right. You might love it. I wonder how they do it. I wonder what they do for it. They must be doing a vegetable broth, just an all-vegetable broth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the selections that we have, I believe.
Yep. And then what are some of the other foods?
Yeah, so there's, with that, you know, there's garlic prawns with an aioli, chili rubbed flank steak. With, you know, we see quite a few things with the piquillo peppers.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a relish. Let's see. You know, lots of small, tasty treats happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you're making me hungry.
I know.
Oh, it looks like gazpacho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, grape and almond gazpacho. That's a very, very, that's quite traditional.
Mm.
Yes, definitely very excited about the menu this year. Mm-hmm. Grapevine has done a fabulous job so far.
Now,
so.
Do they typically cater it?
No, this is our first time that we're doing this.
Because, yeah, I was thinking before you would have like two or three different paella. What's the term?
Paelleras.
Okay.
Paelleras. Yes. So this is the first year we're actually focusing more on paella, whereas mm-hmm. in the past we've had, you know, maybe one paella vendor,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest were just, you know, people that did that Spanish cuisine,
right?
From local around the areas, and we'd have, you know, 6-7 vendors. So this is the first time that we're really just having one exclusive vendor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool. We're going to take another little musical break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful. I have to see what topics they're telling you.
Thank you.
So, are you kicking back, enjoying the music, having a nice glass of cava, thinking about the next time you're going to eat paella? Do you make paella every week at the market?
Every Sunday, yes.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, Sevastopol Market.
Yes. And then how do people know if you're going to be at Occidental or not?
Well, they let us know on the day.
Oh, on the day.
On the day.
So you have to scramble.
We do. And eventually, we're going to post it on our Facebook page.
Oh, good, good.
If we're going to be there or not. That mm-hmm. way, they don't show up at the market and
yeah.
we're not there. Yes.
Great. Now, do you do just the bone broth or do you also do paella?
In Occidental.
In Occidental.
We
don't. No, we're not
allowed. Yes, I know.
We're not allowed to make paella.
We don't have to talk about that.
We do meatballs. We do something called the paleo plate.
Oh, right.
Which is grass-fed organic meatballs, either beef or lamb, mm-hmm. Freshly made. And then we do it with a tomato sauce that we also use bone broth to make this sauce. And mm-hmm. then we serve it over vegetables or pasta. I guess mm-hmm. if it's pasta, it's like spaghetti and meatballs. No.
Yes.
But the paleo came from me wanting less carbs.
Uh-huh. Well, I started writing my book on meatballs, which I'm really...
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I'm trying to... I thought I was going to finish it today. I'm probably going to finish it Tuesday. I'm trying so hard to finish this book. I was playing around with all these different titles. Not for the book, but names for different meatballs. And somebody said, oh, well, you have to do gluten-free. I says, well, we can call them paleo balls. But actually, my daughter doesn't eat gluten. My younger daughter has a thyroid issue. And that's one thing. If you have a thyroid issue, there's a real legitimate reason not to eat gluten.
Yes.
And then one of my best friends has, she's gluten intolerant and, you know, gets really sick if she eats it. So, and she loves meatballs and all that. So one of the things I found is, first of all, meatballs don't need the filler.
No.
They do not. No.
They don't need the filler. They need a binder.
They just need to be fresh.
Yeah, and they a really binder, fresh. Like egg. But they don't exactly. need something to expand them. And I think that comes from the tradition of being the food of poverty. You take all your scraps, you have a little bit of meat, and you extend it. Mm-hmm. With, you know, breadcrumbs or some stale bread that you're not going to eat any other way. But you don't have to have that. Mm-hmm. But one thing I found that works really well is quinoa.
Oh.
Quinoa vanishes into the meatball. Yeah, so if for some reason you want to bulk them up a little bit, you can use red quinoa or white quinoa, and it just absorbs all the flavors. Nice. And it's really great. And there was, oh, another thing that does it really well is zucchini.
Ooh, we have lots of that right now.
Yes, everyone has lots of that. And it, the thing that it, the zucchini does two things. It keeps it moist.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps it moist and it absorbs the flavor, and you don't taste this. You don't taste zucchini in the meatball. Oh.
So do you do it grated?
Yes, grated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
grated. Grated.
We just came home with boxes of zucchini, so
yeah.
We'll
you can also you can actually do zucchini fritters too.
Yes.
Which not zucchini fritters where you take a chunk of zucchini and dip it into something like tempura batter, but zucchini where you grate it and then you treat it like a meatball. You put an egg, put in a little baking soda, put it into a ball and deep fry it. It is so good.
Mm. I'm planning on fermenting them and making zucchini pickles. Like,
oh, great idea.
But lacto-fermented.
Yeah,
so rich
that's a
in
great
probiotics.
Idea. Yes,
yeah.
That's a really great idea. But yeah, paleo balls. That's what we got on that subject.
And now with the tomato season coming up.
Oh, isn't it glorious?
I just can't wait to start making fresh sauces.
Uh-huh.
With these meatballs that I've been making, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're selling them out every time I make
meatballs. Are you having them most
weeks?
Yeah,
they're on the menu along with
are.
The paellas, yes.
Okay.
Because we found out that some people cannot eat grains.
Me. You're in Sebastopol, too. So.
Well, Occidental Market, too. They
yes,
love
sure.
them.
West
they
County.
Just come and
yes, West County, absolutely.
So it's basically meatballs, fresh meatballs with vegetables and a side salad. And
yeah.
Yeah, people love it.
Uh-huh. Who do you get your lamb from?
Marin Sun Farms.
And, oh, Owens, and Owens, Owens, Owens Family
Owens.
Farm.
Owens,
uh-huh. Yep. Owens, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Williams Ranches is good, too.
Williams?
You probably don't know them because they don't come to the Sebastopol market.
Mm.
But their lambs are raised right on the edge of the Laguna in Sebastopol.
Oh.
Good to
and
know.
We've also learned about Hessel. Hessel, someone... Or maybe it's the same farm.
No, I don't think so. There's
Hessel
a couple
farm.
People out in the Hessel area that they're not coming to mind instantly. But Williams Ranches,
okay.
They have some fabulous lamb.
We'll
really, really fabulous lamb. They're at the Santa Rosa Farmers Market on Saturdays. And I think they also go to the Hillsburg Farmers Market on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. But they're Rex and Carrie. And they're right there, Sebastopol. I get emails or phone calls from them. It's like, okay, we have lamb's tongue, Michelle. Because I love lamb's tongue. So I will take, okay, I will take all your innards if there's any lamb's tongue in it.
And you know, most of the recipes we want to put out there are basically local and, everything's raised within. This is how I grew up, and I will continue to do that.
Do you go back and visit in El Salvador very often?
I haven't been back. It's been quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I've been going to Costa Rica a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been cooking. So I'm used to locality and what comes out of the ocean. You call,
sure.
You go to the fishermen when they're coming out of the water. And you just buy fresh tuna or fish and make everything fresh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep that.
Yeah,
same
well, you've
principle.
Got Bodega Bay. It's not quite the same, but you know, not quite the same. But you've got some, got some local fishermen when you can, you know,
yes,
be out there at the right moment.
Yeah.
How did you, Colleen? How did you end up at Gloria Ferrer?
Well, I absolutely love bubbly. So that was I started there in 2010. So I stocked them. I'm just kidding. No, I just always loved their wine. I always wanted to get into events. And so I thought, why not try to combo the two? Mm-hmm. So I saw a position open up there.
Oh,
I applied
perfect.
For it. I let them know that I'd spend all my money there. And they hired me. So I was very much so excited.
Uh-huh.
So good ambassador for them because I've always just loved their wine.
Yeah. And so your job involves events.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the Catalan Festival, what are some of the other things that they have coming up?
Yeah, we've got a crab feed that we do and that will be, you know, in the December time frame.
Oh, I didn't know about the crab feed.
Mm-hmm. We just, it was our first year last year that we did it, so it'll be our second year. And then
crab
we have
and bubbly.
Our, right? Can't go wrong. A little dry wine, you know. And then we have our club member annual lobster feed. Mm-hmm. We always do a nice Mother's Day event. So we just had that last month.
And then you do, let's see, in early January, you do a King's Day or Epiphany, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You've been doing that for a long time.
Long time, yeah. So that was one of my first events that I did there. So it is a lot of fun. Our kind of performance that is put on, Toys for the Children. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a great one that we get to be involved in, you know, host.
Right. Now, were you also involved in something? I know that for a long time, Marika Wirtz did your PR.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that I remember her talking about this, the birdhouses.
Oh, yeah, and the Wilmar wine.
Yes, talk about that. That is such a sweet event.
Yeah, so that's what we've got. Steve Erber, he has come out with two Wilmar wines. So all of the Wilmar wine that's purchased at
and
the
winery.
We
need to say what the Wilmar wine is.
So it's a Pinot Noir. We've got two vintages, in 2011 and 2012. And so all the proceeds go to the Wilmar Foundation. So...
And, and is that for kids who benefits kids with cancer?
Bereaving.
Kids who have lost people to cancer, or lost parents.
Family members.
Right.
It can even be close friends, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so anyone near and dear to their heart. So,
Tell us about the birdhouse element, because that's what it's such a sweet element.
Definitely one of their, you know, programs that they have within that whole community project is arts, and so just a facet of getting to paint and, you know.
Yeah, so kids paint the birdhouses,
they
right?
They do.
And then they sell them at the event at Gloria Ferrer.
Yeah, we sell them year-round.
Oh, you sell them year-round. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Yep, they're always painting new ones and bringing them in, so yeah, we've got them there year-round, and again, all the proceeds for that go to, so we've got posters, there's lots of things just retail-wise in the tasting room that all go straight to Wilmar.
And it's W-I-L-M-A-R.
W-I-L-L-M-A-R.
M-A-R, and can people just find it by Googling it?
Yeah.
Wilmar Foundation?
Yeah, we've even got, on our site, you know, you can find the wine, the posters, and all of that information through our site as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's so, I mean, I love birds, you know, and providing habitat for birds because we've taken so much of their natural habitat. Mm-hmm. So there's that good thing, and then... brave children. I mean, it's just, that's just such an overwhelming thing, and it's so great to take care of them however we can. So I just think that's such a wonderful program.
Yep. They were a program that, you know, helped a family out in through the Gloria Ferrer company. And so since then, we've always wanted to help support in any way that we can.
Uh-huh. And then tell us the website, because there's so, I don't expect you to remember all the events we've talked about, but you can get all the information from the Gloria Ferrer website, right?
You can, yep. So it's www.GloriaFerrer.com.
And it's F-E-R-R-E-R, GloriaFerrer.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it has everything there, and links to buy tickets, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you want to... decide this is the year to go to the Catalan Festival, you just go there, click through, and... No VIP bubbly tickets left, but you can still go and have a grand time.
Definitely.
And can people buy wine during the event?
You can, yeah. We'll have specials that day. And yeah, for anyone that's listening that buys tickets, I'm going to be there at check-in both days. So if you find me, I can come give you a splash of this royal that we're drinking today.
Cool. Well, you know, there's a nice offer.
Yeah, it's my radio debut, so I want to see get any feedback.
So it's so all three of you. It's your radio debut. How's it gone? Has this been okay?
It's been beautiful, yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much. And Cesar, if people... can't get to this festival farmers market, but they want to get in touch with you if they want to buy your bone broth, how should they do it? Should it be the bone broth company at gmail.com? Is that the best way?
Yes, that's the best way.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page. No?
We have a Facebook page. We also, starting this week, will be at the Thursday night street fair at the Barlow's from 4 to 8.
That's right. I'm just learning about that.
Yep. We're also Saturdays in Healdsburg.
And at the market?
Yep, at the Healdsburg Market, and then most Fridays so far at the Occidental Market.
So Healdsburg Market on Saturdays, and then the street fair at the Barlow kicks off this week, right?
This week, July 3rd.
July 3rd.
For the fireworks. It's going to be a big night in Sebastopol.
It will be a big, huge night in Sebastopol.
Calm down. Yes. Yeah.
In fact, go get a good parking place and then go home and come back later. and that's happening on McKinley Street, right?
Yes.
It's happening on McKinley.
It is.
I'm glad to hear that. I've thought since the Barlow was underway that, you know, we really need to have something going on McKinley Street.
Yes.
It's so there's going to be a lot of food. Thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. A lot of food?
Yes.
Cool. And you're going to be cooking?
I'm going to be making paella.
Great. Yeah.
Mainly paellas.
Uh-huh.
That's what they want me to do. So
I want the paella that has the chorizo and the green olives.
We'll do.
That's my favorite one.
We haven't done that in a while. Yeah,
yeah. That's my absolute. That with the now you do a hot sauce that you put on it sometimes, don't you? Weren't you doing something with a? Or am I getting you mixed up?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't doing a hurry.
No hot sauce,
you weren't doing a hurry. Okay, I know who it was. I'll think of his name in a second. He's a good friend, Fabiano.
Okay.
Do you know Fabiano?
I do not.
He lives in Pengrove, and he was doing paella at the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market and a couple of other places. He's also a winemaker, making some very unusual less common varieties. And when he was doing his paella at the Santa Rosa Farmers Market, there's a reason he did this. I mean, he had a connection to North Africa, to Morocco, and he had this squeeze bottle full of harissa. And I could live on harissa. I love it. So he had a pretty traditional paella, but then you squeeze some harissa on it, and it was like, and it was a pretty fiery one too. It was really good. I'm ready to develop a pocket size version of harissa because I like it on almost everything. And on that note, we're just about out of time. We've got Outbeat Salon coming up next. I will not be here next week. I am sorry. It is my birthday, and I'm honoring my birthday tradition, spending it as I do now every year at the pool at Coppola Winery. Ever since I became an adult, people didn't celebrate my birthday very much. When I was a kid, I thought the parades were just for me. They were the build-up to my birthday because it's on the 6th of July. Then when I became an adult, it's like, oh, God, we're so hungover from the 4th. Have a good birthday. Or, oh, we've got to get back to work. Sorry, have a great day. So I've settled my birthday problem. Bye. I'm there at 11 o'clock when the doors open. I get in my lounge chair. I sit down. I swim every 45 minutes, and I just have a wonderful day at Coppola. And then I will be back here on July 13th for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour here on KRCB. Have a great week.
Thanks.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.